the new normal subject suffers from attention deficit, lack of moral strength, reduced cognitive capacity, and a disabled internal locus of control. This kind of ego can only perceive its distorted mental representations as if they were reality, without the ability to question their veracity. The postmodern ego is designed to be constantly immersed in its personal melodrama, which now takes place largely on computer screens and in ever more engulfing corporate-controlled virtual reality. This form of psyche can no longer perceive that there is a depth dimension to our being. Our soul's inner drama has been tuned out. Nor can many still perceive the vibrational presence of the cosmic heart-mind. And even fewer can feel the vertical current of divine energy connecting each soul to our unmanifest source. Most egos perceive only their horizontal flatland scenario. Some have escaped total mind control and do perceive the soul level of our tragicomedy. But often, they cannot integrate the two levels. The good news is that more and more souls are nonetheless awakening and hacking the matrix. They will soon transfigure the planet's morphogenic field. The ego's main obstacle is that it can no longer process information critically, let alone symbolically, whether the data is delivered in the waking or the dream state. Instead, the mind registers only disjointed images, primitive projections, and uninterpreted splinters of experience. Few souls still have a cogent and integrated thinking, feeling, intuitive function that can at will increase its potency and scope via the transcendent function, to borrow a model developed by Carl Jung. Instead, most people today react to events with unformulated emotions and somatic symptoms. They depend on their unmentalized sensing function, regurgitating acceptable opinions and superficial sentiments that are mistaken for intuitions, and whose attention spans are regularly diverted by recurrent animalistic urges. A profusion of egos has become so zombie-like that they no longer have an internal logos or abstract thinking activity at all. Nor can they apply common sense, let alone dialectical reason, to decipher complex situations. Some retain only sound clips from pop music or propaganda memes and bits of jargon heard on videos. Even the universities today no longer transmit the art of clear thinking. They have become indoctrination camps, and few survive them with their hearts and minds intact. To become a true anarchist under these conditions, one must first free oneself of the ego's domination. If one does not recognize that one's soul has been blindfolded and one's mind has been seeded with heteronymous algorithms that prevent activation of our full spectrum of multimodal intelligence and disable our capacity for second-order cybernetic processing, meaning the awakened intellect's sovereign control over one's own mind, then there's little hope of transforming one's subjectivity to be able either to resist the external pressures to comply with the political control system or to awaken from the ego's puerile narcissistic delusions. We must not, therefore, make the mistake of focusing our efforts only on resisting external oppression. If one is still subjugated by an internalized voice, image, affect, or self-defeating attitude, masquerading as one's own, or if one's creativity, coherence, and coping skills are dulled, then know that crippling sabotage of your natural capacity for self-actualization has already taken place. Egos deformed in this way are under external control, but cleverly they're programmed to feel like authentic rebels because they participate in rioting and looting, or they believe they wear the white hats because they agree to follow all the insane mandates for the greater good. Because the ruling powers have succeeded in shrinking the minds of the majority, the psychopathic upper echelons who manage the system are able to commit mass murder openly and with impunity.